Welcome to the Marshall Pruitt Podcast, presented by Cooper Tires. We have a quick update here from our friend Bobby Rahal, co-owner of the Rahal Letterman Lanigan IndyCar and IMSA teams, with a brand new hiring of Piers Phillips as RLL's team president. Definitely a void filled there, which Bob goes into explain some of the rationale behind hiring Piers, what they're looking for, and what they're hoping he can do for the team, not only with the current configuration, but also some of their aspirations, bigger aspirations for the future. Bob also gave us a bit of a new direction. I don't want to say breaking news, but definitely new insights on where their third entry, the one that they've been working on, is headed as well, and what that might look like next year. If I were to whisper that Colin Brown, IMSA standout, might be someone in that third car on a select basis next year, I probably wouldn't be speaking out of turn. And finally, Bob gives us some updates as well on acquiring a 1966 Eagle IndyCar chassis, something that he has been drooling over for a while. He and I both share immediate, long-time, long-term fandom and worshiping of Dan Gurney, the Big Eagle, knowing that Bobby was able to get his hands on one of the Big Eagle's first IndyCar chassis certainly means a lot to him. So, fairly quick episode here, a little bit pressed for time at home, as some of you may know, so had a brief window to get a hold of Bob and a brief window to put this together, so hopefully you enjoy this little update with our man, Mr. Rahal. And as you know, you can get every episode of the Marshall Pruitt Podcast on iTunes, on Podbean, Google Play, Spotify, a variety of aggregators. You can also find every episode on our Marshall Pruitt Podcast Facebook page, which I would urge you to take part in and join. All right, off we go with Bobby Rahal on the Marshall Pruitt Podcast, presented by Cooper Tire.
Tell me about bringing on our man Piers Phillips in this overall president role. I guess thinking back to our other dear friend Scott Remke, that was the first thing that came to mind, that you haven't really, since we lost Scott, there really hadn't been a true I don't know if I want to say replacement, but someone similar to Scott's role within the team. Where does Piers fit in your mindset on role?
I think you're onto something there. And you're right. There's only one Scott Remke, but the role that Scott played in the history of Team Rahal, RLL, whatever you want to call it, was he played a tremendous role and was universally, I think, respected by everybody in the paddock, everybody in the sanctioning bodies. Scott just had that. I mean, he was dedicated to it, and it was his passion, and there was nothing else outside of his family. There was nothing else in life for Scott. And there's no doubt, no question in my mind that I think we've suffered since Scott's passing. And so I've been looking over the last several years, who's out there, who do I see that could, not replace Scott, but undertake the responsibilities of a position of really running the company on a day-to-day basis, working with the sanctioning bodies, working with the manufacturers, expanding our horizons, or the opportunities that we might have. I saw Piers, and it was obviously I'd seen him in IMSA with Level 5 and before. But Piers is a pretty successful guy. He's a racer. I don't think there's any doubt in anybody's mind that he's a racer, and ultimately that's critical, I think. But I think he also sees the bigger picture, and we've got good people, operating the units themselves, whether it's Rico and Ricardo Nault, or whether it's now Brandon Fry and Steve Dixon on the BMW side, Mike and I. We're looking for that person who's going to really take it under his wings to take the team onto higher places. And that's not me. I just knew that I couldn't dedicate the energy and the resource and what have you. I see Piers' role here as being nothing different than, say, Tim Cindric to Roger Penske. That comes out I think that's, you know, another good comparison. So, you know, the opportunity came up, and, you know, I tried to convince peers of my vision, my goals for the company across all motorsports, not just IndyCar, and that's WEC. And, you know, I very much want to try to put something together to go to Le Mans. And so I couldn't do that. And in Piers, I found a guy that I thought could do that. So, you know, I'm pleased that he decided to join us.
It also feels like, Bob, and tell me if this is accurate or not, but it seems like Piers has the ability to straddle both camps perfectly because he does have experience in sports car and open wheel, but he also has the ability, like a Cindric, to not just be in the proverbial ivory tower back in the shop, but on a timing stand, if needed, someone who can also be in the trenches with the team. Was that part of the attraction?
Yeah, well, for sure, like I said, Piers is a racer, so for sure I don't see him sitting in that ivory tower, you know, disengaged from the teams and what have you. I mean, I very much see him as being part of the teams, and absolutely that, you know, he's a guy that's going to get his hands dirty to a certain extent. I mean, again, they've got good people, but that doesn't mean that, you know, that we have all the answers or that our perspective is 100% right, or there aren't opportunities that he might see that we don't see, and that's why you bring people in like that. I'm sure that's why Roger brought Tim in and others. It's you know, you want somebody in there with a fresh view, and I'm not saying we're doing everything wrong, but saying, hey, maybe there's some other ideas out there. And in the end, I also will tell you, and I think it's very important in this position that in the end, you got to be a racer. In the end, you got to want to win, and that mentality and that example will trickle down. Not that people don't feel that way now, but it's there's more of that than you just hired some guy off the street who managed to run some company somewhere. So it's yes, the financial side of it's important, but in the end, it's all about winning races.
So the other thing that comes to mind here, my little mischievous probing mind, is, you know, Piers did some pretty darn good work on the timing stand as a race strategist with Robert Wickens last season.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing that you already have two timing stands full of really high-quality people, just saying, if there were to be a third RLL IndyCar entry, you know, you might have a guy who could do that. Curious if there are any developments or updates you can share on how third car aspirations coming along.
At this stage, well, at one point in time, I thought it looked very positive. I would tell you that, in all honesty, I don't think a third car on a full time basis is probable.
Yeah.
But I will tell you that we will be running a third car at Indy, and I will tell you that I think there will be maybe potential other races on a part time basis. Somebody. So, you know, for us, it has to fit within the organization that we have, and it has to contribute. And, you know, so for us, it's not just a matter of running a car. It's just, as I've said many times, it's, you know, who is this and how is this going to help the organization?
Well, from some of those who I know you've had a keen eye on, even if it's just a part-time basis, I think that if it were to go forward, that could be a good laying of foundation for an expanded role or expanded thing in 2020-2021.
Yeah.
So
if
it isn't a full-time thing next season, that doesn't mean growth potential wouldn't be there afterwards.
Yeah, no, for sure.
When I see you posting about acquiring a car built by our mutual hero, also one of the most beautiful things in the world, tell us a little bit about this Eagle IndyCar that you had your eyes on.
Well, you know, I just think, first off, I think that that era, that period of time from, say, 63 when the Lotus Ford first showed up till, you know, maybe 69 or 68 before Wing started showing up. And, you know, I don't know, there was just something, that, whether it was a Lotus or a Gerhardt or a Gurney or an Eagle or a got BRP, which, you know, they even showed up.
A Volstead, you know, whatever,
a,
yeah.
A Cavalli, you know.
It's just beautiful purity of shape.
Yeah, I mean, there was just something that I just think is you know, like you say, purity. I mean, it's just, and it was, you know, Formula One cars were you know, the same, I think the same, they had that same look, you know, just, they were just, they're beautiful, you know, and so, you know, I've always had a kind of a dream of having one, and of course, and to be honest, the thing I liked about the Eagles the most is I actually fit in them because they were all built to fit Dan. You know, and Dan was bigger than me, so I actually have room to maneuver in the Eagle compared to, say, a Lotus or whatever. I've been salivating about one of these types of cars over the years and looked and hemmed and hawed, you know. Despite everything, convinced myself no, and, you know, and then I finally said the hell with it. And anyway, so yeah, this car is, it never achieved real greatness on the track. You know, the best, you know, Johnny Rutherford qualified in the middle of the front row in 1970 with it, and with Jerry Grant, he was 10th in '66. He managed to, he was ahead, Frank, he was fortunately ahead of the melee that took out about half the field in '66,
yeah.
And including Dan Gurney was in the middle of that mess. It probably ran more IndyCar races in its lifetime than any other Eagle out there. And owned and driven by great teams and great guys over the years, JR and others. For me, there's nothing like that dark blue metallic and white, you know, though in Jerry's case, it was kind of a yellow striping and accenting, but nevertheless, that dark blue AAR color is just special to me because of our hero. And so to get have the opportunity to pull the trigger on it, I'm thrilled and can't wait to drive it around Indianapolis, hopefully next May, you know, before the race, and get a little bit of an inkling of what it was like in those days. And I'm very, very, very excited. And like I said, Christmas for about the next 10 years has come to me this year. So,
Bob, who did the restoration on it and such? I mean, it looked beautiful, but just
the car has been, you know, Walter Goodwin in Indianapolis has done a lot of work on it. You know, Pete Jamie, who, Frank, ironically, was one of my mechanics at Chevron in '79. He's done work on it. Aaron Lewis, who owned the car previously, has had it for quite a while. In fact, he offered it to me some years ago at a much reduced price. To show you how smart I am. The good thing about the car is it was never hacked up, and you know, a lot of those cars got made into modifieds, and, you know, you name it. I mean, it happened to them, and this car didn't go through that process, fortunately. So it's, you know, it was, I guess, pretty much all intact, and just a matter of, you know, making it nice and bringing it up to date. So, yeah, I think it arrives on Tuesday, and I'm gonna be like a kid in a candy store.
No, that is so awesome, Bob. And I'd love to see Graham as well, just so he can get an appreciation for.
I told him, you need to drive it. So maybe one of these races he will.
Well, that would be a, not that I'm pitching a story here. Maybe I am, but I'm telling you, whatever.
That'd be cool.
Whatever Graham's 2018 looking hot rod, IndyCar hot rod, and doing a little back to back day somewhere at a Mid Ohio or you name it. Just That would be
that'd be cool.
A lot of fun.
Yeah, well, I think we should try to do that. So,
well, enjoy your weekend, my friend.
You too. You take care of yourself, Mark. Give my love to your bride. Tell her get well soon and all the other good stuff.
Amen.
And that was our man, Bobby Rahal. The more that I think about it, I love the idea of Graham hopping into the Eagle and also testing his IndyCar in the same track, same day. But maybe we need to expand that and have Bob in the 2018-2019 spec Universal Aero Kit Dallara DW12 Honda and have Graham in the old Eagle IndyCar chassis. That might be some fun. All right, I'm Marshall Pruitt. This is Marshall Pruitt Podcast presented by Cooper Tires. Thank you for listening.